Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Jeff Kinley. He is the author of many books, but his latest is The End of America, Bible Prophecy and a Country in Crisis. What do you believe about the end times? What do you believe about our nation's role in biblical history? There are some potent questions to ponder here, and I think Jeff has done a great job of helping us see past some of the speculation to that which is definite, things that Scripture makes clear even for people who are not living in the United States of America. This helps take biblical truth and apply it to believers who are among those blessed to live here in the States. And for our Canadian listeners, this will apply to you as well. You would definitely care about what happens to your neighbor to the south, the United States. But Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the broadcast, and welcome.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be with you.
In this book, you just tackle this question head on. Is this the end for America? How would we even know? What does it look like when God hands people over, as we read about in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following? And I appreciate the way that you address this. One of the things that you point out is that the United States of America really does have an unusual history in terms of America's early religious life and the documents and monuments in our nation's capital. Clearly, this country was founded on a commitment not only to religious freedom, but to a great extent, religious truth.
Well, it's true, and I think it's undeniable, and even in light of the fact that some revisionist historians, Jim, would try to rewrite our history. And
yep.
When you go back and examine those early church, those early founding fathers' documents and what they wrote for our country and their personal journals, what you find is a very strong undergirding of biblical truth. I mean, God is in America's DNA,
mm-hmm.
and he was encoded, his word was really encoded into that. And so the principles upon which our country are founded are Christian principles that really give birth to things like liberty and freedom mm-hmm. and all the pursuits of happiness, the things that we get to have in this country, we really owe to the God of the Bible.
Well, I think there are those who've, of course, said, even back closer to the events, that the American Revolution never could have happened had it not been for the Great Awakening.
Absolutely. And the Great Awakening was this massive event that swept our country. In fact, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said that you could hardly walk down the street of any American town during that time and not hear hymns being sung
yes.
from houses and shopkeepers and that type of thing. And it was a very unique time. And of course, many people during that time, that's why they called it an awakening, because they needed to be aroused again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that that's exactly where we are again, Jim, is that we need another great awakening in this
Amen.
Country.
Amen. It's not political action that's going to fix it, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, America's problem is primarily spiritual and moral, and only a God who can change the heart of individuals can really turn this nation around.
Amen. Now, when you talk about the road to abandonment, understanding God's love and wrath, there's not a lot of talk about God's wrath today. As a matter of fact, there seems to be a consensus among many who call themselves evangelicals, and I would submit that they are misusing the term, but there seems to be a consensus among many that it's just really bad for God if we talk about his wrath. That's just not that is not the way to connect with people. It doesn't make the gospel appealing to people. And so, you know, we really need to leave that off the table. I'm not sure I even believe in the wrath of God. You make it very clear in this book that you can't really know the God of the Bible unless you recognize that he is a holy God and that his wrath is an essential aspect of his being.
Well, absolutely is, and the reason why we should discuss the wrath of God is because it is one of his attributes, just as valid and real as his love and grace and mercy. But also the Bible talks about God's wrath, not only throughout the history of Scripture, but also for the times that are coming for planet Earth and for America. And so for that reason, I believe we have to address the wrath of God. And it's really not really an issue of negativity, Jim, as much as it is an issue of reality.
Absolutely.
And like, yeah, when you go to the doctor and the doctor diagnoses you with cancer, he's not being negative. He's just simply telling you what is real, what is true. Mm-hmm. And now at least you know about it so you can address the issue and hopefully do something about it.
You know, comparing a doctor to a preacher, what kind of doctor would he be if he decided, I don't want to upset my patient, so I'm just going to tell him everything's fine?
That's exactly right. And fortunately, Jesus Christ was not like that. Christ was full of love and grace and truth, and he was not shy about telling us about our sin and about hypocrisy and about the things that plague mankind, but also about the things that are coming. And he told us how to prepare ourselves for that. So when we talk about the wrath of God, and there are many expressions of that throughout Scripture and history, we have to hit it head on and say, what does the Bible tell us about it, and then declare that to the world.
Amen. Without that, the cross has no meaning. The idea of Jesus dying on the cross just as some sort of moral example is utter rubbish.
Oh, absolutely, because the whole context of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is because of our sin problem and the righteousness of God that has been offended by that, and because he's a just God, he must punish sin. But fortunately for humanity, Jesus Christ came and took that eternal punishment on the cross so that we don't have to.
Amen.
So yes, without understanding really the bad news, the good news really doesn't make much sense.
Amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you, as you look at what's happening right now, and you look at our history as well, and you deal with both in this book, our history in the past and our current situation, do you believe that we are showing evidence of having been handed over for destruction?
Jim, I think it's undeniable. As you look at Romans chapter 1 and see what the Word of God clearly says, that when a civilization, a nation, when individuals reject the clearly revealed truth of God from the heavens, the fact that he is there, the fact that he is a divine being, when we suppress that truth and reject that, the Bible says in Romans 1 that God really begins a process of incrementally turning us over. There are consequences to not believing in God. I mean, we have freedom not to believe in God. But the consequences are that our minds are darkened from that point on. God, in mm-hmm. essence, removes the light that we once had. And now we're left in darkness to figure out things like, where did we come from? What are we all about? What is humanity? What is sexuality? How should we live? And what happens in Romans 1 is we see that God begins to hand over these people to themselves. After they have rejected him and proclaimed themselves to be wise, there begins a series of revolutions, or I should say a devolution in humanity, mm-hmm. and it's a judicial thing where it says God gave them over three different times, and it just simply means to allow someone to be arrested by their own desires. And so that's what we're seeing in America with the sexual revolution, with the homosexual revolution, with the sin revolution that's happening in our country today. I think it's pretty clear that God is allowing us to go our own way, and that's what I call abandonment wrath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that that's something a lot of folks are oblivious to. They don't recognize that what they consider freedom is more like a free fall. You know, as so far, so good. Well, you haven't reached the bottom of the canyon, friend.
Right.
You know, you are losing altitude second by second. And I believe C.S. Lewis said something along the lines of, heaven is going to be filled with those who said to God, thy will be done. And hell is going to be filled with those to whom God said, thy will be done.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely right. The freedom that we have comes with also a responsibility, both for individuals and for countries. Mm-hmm. And what you just talked about is the fact that, you know, a lot of times, like a pilot can have this thing called vertigo, where he doesn't know if he's flying sideways, upside down, because of the pressure factors inside the cockpit.
Yeah.
And so he can be flying upside down or be going right into a mountain and not even know it. And his feelings are telling him one thing, but until he looks at those instruments, that instrument panel that never changes, that always tells the truth, mm-hmm. that will tell him whether to pull up or to pull out of a certain dive. And that's the way we are as a country, because we've rejected the truth of God and his word. Then we're at a point now where we're just flying by the seat of our pants. We don't even know that we're about to fly into a mountain, or as you said, about to go down the hill.
Yep. Now, you talk about four principles, and under the heading of Lessons for Last Days Believers. And principle number one is God judges nations based on their moral conscience and national character. How are we doing there right now?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid, Jim, that we're really mirroring the days of Noah and Noah's generation, where mm-hmm. they pretty much threw off the bonds of God being in charge of them. They really wanted to be their own gods. We have immersed ourselves in not just godlessness, but violence and sexuality and immorality. Mm-hmm. And so we are at a point now where God has said, you have been responsible to respond to the light that I've given to you in creation. And, Jim, with the great truth that in Jesus Christ that has been shared in this country, we are a gospel-saturated country, or at least we have been in the past. Mm-hmm. And so God, I believe now, is turning that judgment on our country, because our moral conscience has been decayed and our national character has really just come to a point where we no longer recognize ourselves. So yes, I do believe that we're like the days of Noah, like Sodom and Gomorrah, mm-hmm. like the nations that Christ will judge at the end of time.
And I think we are also seeing, even non-Christians, even people who are not believers in God necessarily, are registering occasional alarm. It's like somebody who sort of wakes up a little bit and wonders, why is that light flashing, or what is that siren noise? It's not enough to fully rouse them, but they sort of come out of the fog for just a second to ask, what is that? And one of the things that's causing folks that I see right now to respond is the tremendous rise in suicide, the tremendous rise in child abuse and sexual abuse of children, and violence by children and youth that just seems to be, in the minds of many, even, again, people who are not particularly attuned to the things of God, but it's like, wow, I don't think it used to be like this. And they're right. It didn't used to be like this.
Oh, absolutely. And really, as the whole country really looks around the world and sees the chaos that's happening in the world, they look at our country, they see the crises and the catastrophes. We've got the western half of our country's on fire, and the middle of our country down south is underwater.
Yep.
And we've got division over on the East Coast with this anarchy and this really this depravity on parade with all fanning the flames of all this division.
Yes.
So much is going on in our country. So it really doesn't take someone that's very spiritually minded to understand this. It just takes someone who pays attention to what's going on in the world. And that's why I think recently, you know, George Barna came out with a statistic that 41% of American adults believe that we are living in some sort of end times.
Yeah.
But what that says, I think, to us, Jim, is that these people who aren't necessarily tuned into Christ and the Scriptures, it creates really confusion in their minds. And that confusion, I think, causes them to want to go and find a coping mechanism for this. And, of course, some of them, as you said, will go into violence, will go into hedonism and carnality. Others will just simply go into their own cocoon of themselves. They'll self-medicate. Others want to lash out at God and lash mm-hmm. out at Christians to try to find some source of blame for this thing. So, again, the whole country is really just wandering around lost, just swinging, if you will, a baseball bat of words and this verbosity of violence and vitriolity against Christians. Mm-hmm. So the whole world's seeing it, but the Christians need to understand what's happening from a biblical perspective as to what we should be doing about it.
Well, and in my opinion, this opens a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that's the thing that really is such a great message of hope about this book, Jim, is because I think at no time in the past 2,000 years are we more like the early church than we are right now, because we are living in a day where culture is hostile against Christianity. Mm-hmm. We are mocked, we're maligned, we're made into be the outlaws, and we're demonized, we're marginalized, persecution is beginning. And so all these things are happening to us, and this is a prime opportunity for the gospel to shine and for Christians to bear the light of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's a day of great hope, to be honest.
Amen. Amen. I believe so. And again, if you see the good news as being about preserving a comfortable middle-class life, then these are not very good times.
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, that's just the opposite of what Christ calls us to. He calls us to a life of discipleship that often is hard. It often goes against the flow of culture. And in fact, that's what we've been blessed with for so many decades and 240-something years, is that culture's really had our back, Jim, and, you know, the government's had our back mm-hmm. on these values, but those things have really turned on us, and so Christians now have to bond together to be able to walk uphill and swim upstream in a culture that's fighting against them. And yes, it's not comfortable at times.
It is essential that it begin with repentance. Those yeah. of us who are followers of Jesus Christ can't just continue to live a carnal life that is conformed to the world around us and right. expect that because we espouse verbally traditional morals and so forth that everybody's supposed to respect us for that.
That's absolutely true.
There's a horrible sin problem within the church, and there's got to be repentance, and there's got to be the pursuit of our Lord and of holiness if we're going to have any credibility as his witnesses in this world.
Well, that's absolutely true, and it's alarming when we look at the state of the church right now and where American Christianity is. Specifically, recently a study was done which showed only 18% of Christians read their Bibles on a daily basis. When you add to that sporadic attendance, maybe once or twice a month going to church, mm-hmm. You know, what you end up with, Jim, is a culture of Christians who have a working knowledge of the basics of what it means to be a Christian, but not really the experiential knowledge of knowing yes. what that really means in their life. And is it any wonder that Christians are adopting some of the values of the world and accepting things like same-sex marriage, and they don't know how to navigate these confusing waters? And the reason why is that they're not being equipped week by week by God-called pastors who understand how to explain the Bible to them in a way that makes a real difference, in a way that helps them discern the times that they're in. So we have weak Christians, ignorant Christians. We have people that are maybe good people, but they're simply not doing the time in Scripture to understand how to transform their minds and become the people they want to be. So we have to purify ourselves from that worldly thinking and those worldly values and have our minds, as Scripture says, transformed mm-hmm. By the renewing of our minds through Scripture. When that happens, we begin to get a new perspective on things.
Amen. Now, as you look at the Scriptures, you are clearly persuaded that Israel in the Middle East still has a vital role in end time history, and that how a country responds to the nation of Israel is something that God is going to take very seriously. Not all evangelicals would share your perspective on that. Some of our listeners would enthusiastically agree with you. Some of our listeners would say, I don't even know what you're talking about. And some of our listeners would say, oh, that's just not true. But again, I believe, and I'll go ahead and declare myself here, I believe that God does have indeed a plan for Israel the physical nation of Israel. There's only one way to be saved, folks, and that's through Jesus. You're not saved by being born Jewish. As Paul says in Romans, not all Israel is Israel. Not all Jews are true sons of Abraham. And certainly not all, quote, Christians are genuine Christians either. But there is in Scripture, if you read the book of Romans and take it literally, there is a special plan for the Jewish people when the time of the Gentiles is complete. And so talk with us about how our country right now is having to make decisions continually. Our ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, clearly is a champion of Israel. Previous administration was frequently at odds with Israel. Where do you see us in that regard right now, and what do you think is on the horizon?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, whether someone listening is a Christian or not a Christian, I think everyone in modern history would have to agree that really the miracle of the 20th century was the rebirth of Israel. No one would have ever predicted that a people group that had been scattered to 70 nations or really all across the world for over 2,000 years would one day find their way back to their homeland and establish themselves as a country again. And of course, that happened on May 14th, 1948, when Israel became a nation. And it was predicted by Scripture that the Jews would return to their land. And really, that has to happen in order for the events of Revelation to occur. But as it relates to America, I think we can say a couple things about America. You know, in Genesis 12:3, God told Abraham that, "I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you." And as we look down throughout the history, not just biblical history, but the history of the world, we see that those nations that have risen up against the Jewish people and against the Jewish nation have been nations who have found themselves on the ash heap of history. Mm-hmm. And God has cursed them exactly as he said that he would. Now, I do believe God has a special covenant relationship with Israel, but that according to Romans 11, he's in essence set them on the back burner for a while he deals with the Gentiles and individual Jews, obviously, across the rest of the world, and bringing the fullness of the Gentiles in and bringing his bride together, his church together. But at a point in history that I believe is going to coincide with the rapture of the church, God is going to turn his attention back to the Jewish nation to fulfill those prophecies as we see in Revelation and beyond. So when you look at Israel and its relationship with America, we have been a staunch ally of Israel. We, in fact, acted sort of as a midwife in helping her get born with the support from this country and President Truman. And we have been an ally throughout the decades. Mm-hmm. With some glitches in there and previous administration, as you mentioned. But I think part of our blessing that we have experienced in America is not only because of our roots, but also because of our treatment of Israel. Mm-hmm. And the more that we draw back from that, the more God will draw back his blessing on our country.
I happen to agree with that, and that's why I wanted you to share it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's pretty clear from Scripture. I respect others who may not see it exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. But you just can't look at history. You can't look at prophecy without seeing Israel as the key player in this whole thing. And as time goes on, it's becoming more and more the bullseye, the center point of planet Earth.
Well, I believe, folks, that if you have heard what Jeff has shared today, you're going to want to read this book, The End of America. And I'm glad that you put a question mark after that. You could have just put The End of America. Then people wouldn't need to read the book.
Right.
But you put a question mark because you're not saying it's all over. You're saying, man, there's a lot of warning signs out there. And there are some things that those who know Jesus need to be doing in order to be faithful to him. So,
absolutely.
Again, Jeff Kinley is our guest. The book is The End of America, Bible Prophecy and a Country in Crisis. Jeff, thanks for being with us today.
Jim, my pleasure. God bless you.
God bless you.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.